beginning a series this month called Big. Today we're talking about our God is a big God. Our God is big. Amen. And we didn't expect the projection of these pictures from the Hubble and others to keep coming back to us. So if you look on the internet now, the amazing photographs we have of faraway galaxies and things are breathtaking, and the expanses of the universe. Okay, part one next week will be part two, talking about having a big heart. Part three, a big vision. And part four, a big prayer. This is going to be a month that expands you, enlarges you, and gets you ready for what God has for you, okay? First point, look up and see how incredibly big your God truly is. When I consider the heavens, David said in Psalm 8, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? In contrast to the vastness of the universe, it seems like we are small and significant, yet God reminds us that he knows every detail about us and that we are the crowning achievement of his creation and universe. Wow. Psalm 111, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Telescopes. Anybody here got a telescope besides me? In the desert used to be. This was a really good area for night viewing. Now you have to go out of town a little bit, get away from the lights of the city. But in the desert sky has some of the clearest views of the heavens. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The stars, the planets are preaching to us today. The firmament shows his handiwork. The earth shows God's handiwork. Psalm 89, the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of saints. New Testament, Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So God says, creation's preaching a sermon to you. That there is a creator. And the more, there's been tremendous breakthroughs in astronomy, in the study of the universe, the study of stars. And now we study these radioactive waves that kind of sweep across the universe. And here's what we found out. They have a beginning point. So here's all these agnostic, atheistic scientists. They're studying and they found out everything began suddenly, powerfully, perfectly. There was a big eruption, big bang, and the universe was formed in order, its design. So it's hard to be an astronomer and not be a believer, because the more you see, the more you see the majesty of God in his creation. So here's some points. There were 80 billion galaxies in the universe, at least, you know, by last count. The average galaxy is 40 billion stars. Perseus and Pegasus, 1,000 million light years long, is the largest supercluster known. 1,000 million light years, that galaxy. The Milky Way, our galaxy, has a radius of 50,000 light years. So if you travel at the speed of light for 50,000 years, that's how big the Milky Way is. Contains 250 billion stars. Someone say big. Yeah. The most distant galaxy ever observed is estimated to be about 13 trillion light years away. Light years, traveling at the speed of light for 13 trillion years. You know, God just snaps his fingers. In fact, he says he holds the universe in his hand. Oh. He calls the stars by name. The largest star is KW Sagittari, distance 9,800 light years away. The biggest galaxy ever discovered is inside the Abel 2029 cluster. It contains 100 trillion stars. Canis Majoris is the largest star known to man. If the Earth were a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. So if you put a golf ball at the foot of Mount Everest, Canis Majoris would be the star compared to the Earth. The golf ball. It's more than 2,100 times the size of the sun. It's, the universe is a big thing. You know, God likes it when you look up and think of him. God likes it when we use the vastness of his creation to remind ourselves how big our God is. I love to pray this prayer. So when I pray in the morning, I say, God, you made us. You've made all things. The heavens declare your glory and majesty. The sun, the moon, the planets, the galaxies, the stars, the heavens. He likes that. He said, oh, thank you. Thank you for noticing. Okay, second point. Look outside and see how incredibly big your God is. The earth declares the glory of God. Creation is preaching at you. The animals, plants, birds, fish, oceans, seas, rivers, streams, mountains, valleys, the color, design, complexity, order, detail, it's all preaching a message. God's big. God created it. He loves you. Look what he's done. Jesus uses the contrast of creation to God's love for us. Look at the birds of the air, Matthew 6. They don't sow nor reap nor gather the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? God loves birds. God loves you more than a bird. What did Pastor preach on? I'm more important to God than a bird. Come on, tell your neighbor and smile on your face. God loves you more than birds. Just tell them that. He cares. And so for all of you environmentalists, he didn't say he hates birds. He cares for birds. How much more does he care for his sons and daughters? Okay? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I prayed when I was 12, I'd be 7'4". I want to play in the NBA. Make me huge. It didn't work. Stopped at 6'3". Worry doesn't change anything. And now he says, why are you worrying when the God of creation, why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Well, these desert flowers, how they grow. They don't toil nor spin. Yea, that I say to you that Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God loves flowers. He loves you more than flowers. Turn the other way and say, God loves you more than flowers, okay? So, yeah, it's a deep one today. Next point, look at the facts. Earth is the fifth largest planet in our solar system. The Earth is 197 million square miles. 70% of our surface is water. The oceans of the Earth hold 320 million cubic miles of water. From a distance, the Earth would be the brightest of our nine planets because of the reflection of the water. The Earth orbits the sun at the average speed of 67,000 miles an hour. Amen. Next time the cop pulls you over, say, officer, I know I was going fast, but you should give God a ticket because we're going 67,000 miles an hour right now. So right this moment, we are traveling 67,000 miles an hour. Okay? The Earth rotates once every 24 hours at 1,000 miles per hour. So we're in the solar system at 67,000 miles an hour, and we're rotating at 1,000 miles an hour. And somehow God makes it all work. Perfect balance, perfect axis, perfect atmosphere, perfect distance from the sun. Okay. The distance between the Earth and the moon is 30 times the Earth's diameter. The moon creates tides on Earth. The side of the Earth nearest to the moon always has more gravitational pull than the other side by about 6%. So the moon's not just a Christmas ornament for us. It has a function. Everything God makes has purpose, has design, has function. The sun is 100 times the size of the Earth. So if you took the sun, just a picture of it, you could put 100 Earths around, 109 Earths to over the picture of the sun, okay? The sun's surface temperature is 6,000 degrees Celsius, the earth is 18, which is 64 degrees. 6,000 degrees, I don't know how many degrees Fahrenheit that would be. I'll just say hot. Hotter than Yuma. The earth is mostly iron, oxygen, and silicon. There are between 3 and 30 million animal species on earth. We keep discovering new. That's why it's a graduating number. There are 9 to 10,000 bird species, between 1 and 30 million species of insects. We keep finding new insects. That's the realm where science is the most growing. Mammals, 4 to 5,000 species. Reptiles, 7 to 8,000 species. Fish, 23, 24,000 species. There are 276,000 species of plants. There are 3,000 known minerals on Earth. Mount Everest is the highest mountain on Earth at 29,028 feet. The Amazon rainforest encompasses 1.7 billion acres of trees and forest. The Earth is beautiful. Amen. The earth is beautiful. The saguaro cactus, the Sonoran desert, the beauty. Our own place in the earth is uniquely beautiful. And every place I go, I went to Hawaii, and I think Lanai, they have a tree there. It's 1,200 years old or something, and it's this tree that has, it's one tree, but it looks like 100 trees. And just 1,200 years old. Mary and I were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they said to us that most likely there were several trees in that olive garden that were alive at the time of Christ. 2,000-year-old trees. You with me? Man, you're really old. 2,000. Creation is so beautiful. Enjoy it. Thank God for it. Let when you see things, formulate in it, wow, God made that. My God. He made this stuff. He made it. One of the most hurtful lies. You know, evolution is such a lie. Something comes from nothing. Nothing graduates in the superior levels of things. God made things. God made things. He made man. He made animals. He made bird. He made fish. He made the earth. He made, and so creation is the handiwork of God. Okay. Point number three, look in the mirror and see how incredibly big your God is. You, my friend, are a one-of-a-kind original masterpiece created by the master artist, your body. Psalm 139, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed. And in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me. God, so we begin as a one cell entity. A single cell. You began as a single cell. And in that cell was, just think about it. In that cell, everything you are was written. Your height. Your color, your hair color, size of your nose, everything about you is written in there. And you grew into that. Before I formed you, chapter 1 of verse 5 of Jeremiah, in the womb I knew you, I called you. Okay, some human facts. In one day, the human body sheds 10 billion skin flakes. Now, don't look at him, but you always knew the person sitting next to you was a little flaky. You're right. Every square inch of the human body has 19 million skin cells. Every hour, 1 billion cells in the body must be replaced. So your body is constantly renewing. So in a 24-hour period, almost every cell in your body has gone through renewal. God gave your body. See, that's why when death came, it was unnatural, because your body was made to live. Okay. Sin brought a limitation on how long that would be. The small intestine in the human body is 2 inches round and 22 feet long. The human body has approximately 37,000 miles of capillaries. So they carry the blood, 37,000 miles. The aorta, which is the largest artery in your body, is about the diameter of a garden hose. The human body requires about 88 pounds of oxygen every day. The average woman has 17 square feet of skin. When a woman is in her ninth month of pregnancy, she has 18.5 square feet. I'm not picking on ladies. I just found that really interesting. Their skin grows 18 feet. The human body is 75% water. The human liver performs 500 functions. The feet have 250,000 sweat glands. Amen. That's why they're always barking. You with me? It's so sweaty down here. Hands up there wearing rings, pointing, feet down there working, dogging it out, unseen, sweating. Too much weight, sorry. Hands up here. Feet are saying, wow, how come we're not hands? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Nerve impulses for muscle position travel at a speed up to 390 feet per second. Just like that. So the brain to the muscle, the brain to communicates. There are 60 muscles in your face. The reason why you get sore when you have to smile too long is you're not exercising your smile muscle enough. How long do I have to hold this? It's hurting. So your face has 60 intricate muscles. Just turn to someone, smile at them. Just tell them I'm working out right now. Okay? There are some things that men, that I found as a man, interesting. There are 400 species of bacteria in the human colon. In a lifetime, the average human being produces 10,000 gallons of spit, saliva. That's my favorite one. Yeah. Okay. By the time you are 70, you will have drunk easily over 12,000 gallons of water. Or in your case, Coke and some of you other substances. The average person walks the equivalent of twice around the world in their lifetime. So if you're in your 40s, you've already walked around the world once. If you're in your 70s or 80s, congratulations. You've conquered the thing. Fourth, last point. People that truly believe in a big God can't help but expect him to do big things in their life. See, now, this is so important because we're not starting from no place. The book of Acts, they pray this prayer, God, you've made the heavens and the earth. What are they doing? They're on the diving board. See, when we remind ourselves of how great he is, it's not hard to believe for him to do great things. The greatest hindrance to God doing great things in the earth is not the strongholds of hell. It is the smallness of the church. And so we have to come into the largeness of faith, the largeness of a general everyday philosophy that says our God is large, he's in charge, he's a big God. And from there, we launch into a partnership of faith, of love, of obedience, of prayers that shape his will in the earth because the largeness of God is in our life too. Amen. Stop telling God how big your mountain is and start telling your mountain how big your God is. Okay? Now, just one scripture. Jeremiah, I love this chapter. Jeremiah has this beautiful dialogue with God. See, God's bringing through Jeremiah a chastisement to a backslidden nation, Israel. And yet, before he's even done talking about that, he's prophesying to them restoration, thinking past the term of the chastisement into the time of restoration and renewal. See, a lot of people say, well, God's got to chastise America. Yeah, but if you're prophetic, you see past it to revival, the great awakening. You see this tidal wave of glory coming. If you can't see it, your vision isn't long enough. Okay, Jeremiah 32, when I was delivered, I delivered the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Neriah. I prayed to the Lord saying, oh, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Because of that, in light of that, I conclude there's nothing too hard for you. If you did that, you can do this. in the Latin is called a prori. When you take a big thing and contrast it to a little thing and say, if the big thing's true, how much more is the little thing true? And he said, if you did all that, if you can manage, okay, let me help you. If you can manage to keep the earth and the number of stars has 23 zeros right now and a number in front of it, like 17, it keeps growing. There are 23 zeros. If God can keep all of that, watch over the earth. Watch over you. Watch over all of his creation. He's not going to be exhausted by helping you pay your electric bill. In light of that, God, you're so big. God, you're so big. Come on. We have to break out of the prison of small and come into the world of God. The world of wonder. The world of splendor. The world of anything can happen. If you are around Jesus for 30 minutes, God can do anything. This guy believes anything's possible. The disciples were unleashed. There was no disease that they were afraid, intimidated, or hesitant. There was nothing because they had been around the guy who was unafraid of anything, who unlocked heaven's possibilities into earth's problems, and they got it. They got the bigness of God. What does God want to do? I know, but listen, I know the devil's real. I know Islam's that, and I know there's liberals. So what? Here's a great scripture. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the heathen wage war against God and against his anointed? Saying, let us break their bands. Let's teach our kids they come from monkeys. Let's teach them that the universe is an accident. Let's teach them there is no morality. Let's pollute. And the Bible says, watching all of that, he that sits in the heavens laughs. God laughs at people who wage war against him. And when you're in God's living room, you start giggling too. Well, you put it that way, God, you are big. That's really nothing to you. You laugh at the enemy. You laughed at people who are waging hostile lies and deception. All that means nothing to God. And so God needs a bunch of laughing prophets to rise up in the earth and start just unleashing bigness. Just praying prayers like, God, save the worst terrorist. God, save the most corrupt politician. God, save the most greedy billionaire. Just praying prayers that most people don't pray. God, save my city. God, save every member of my family, especially those four flaky ones. Praying prayers of bigness, of largeness. And so he prays this prayer, God, nothing, come on, nothing, 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 nothing is too difficult for you. Now Jeremiah's preaching to himself, but he's talking to God. Now, for time's sake, I'm done, but look at the last verse of this chapter, verse 27, verse 26. Now God's talking back to Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now get this thought. Can you imagine saying something to God? He liked it so much. He said, I'm going to use that. Can you imagine saying something to God that's so in tune with his directive, with his heart, his nature, his attributes, his intentions, his destiny, his will, his purpose, that God said, whoa, I'm going to use that, Jeremiah. There's nothing too hard for me. And God starts preaching Jeremiah's prayer. You're almost with me. I pray that you start thinking and praying and doing things so big, God said, whoa, me likey, I'm going to like that. I'm going to use that. You know, with me, my pastor friends are real funny. I don't, because I'm inspirational, prophetic, I don't get my sermons from someone else. I just love to get close to God. But, you know, I'm actually easy to download messages because because the way I walk with God. So people are always using my stuff. And my friends tell me, at least, Pastor, I'm going to use that. I don't, it's God's stuff. And it makes me happy. Well, I said something that's inspired enough for you to want to use it. And God says, Jeremiah, that was so good. I'm putting that in the eternal book of canon. I'm the God of all flesh. Nothing too hard for me. Jeremiah said it first, but it's true. I'm going to take it. I pray in this season, you start saying things to God. God says, yep, I'm going to take that. Wow. Me likey. Amen. God, you can do it. You can save every member of my family. You can save America. You can change this culture. All the stuff that we are intimidated by or even stop considering change about, God says, just double dog. Someone believe me to do it. There's nothing too hard. James Martinez, cancer. Cancer is gone. Another man, 3 months ago, same thing here, terminal cancer. In fact, that the Jewish doctor that's treating the other man who was healed in our church, gave him a prophetic word with the doctor, gone. To this, so a couple members of our church go to him, he's still talking about it 3 months later. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. That guy came in. I know we have all these tests, cancer, and now it's no cancer. God's so awesome. Amen. He loves to shake up people that don't think things can happen. And God's called you to be an agent of radical. You're a revolutionary, baby. And what are you believing? So let's untie the hands of God and just start thinking about, wow, God that made the heavens, God that made the earth, God that made the animals, plants, birds, fish, oceans, seas, rivers, streams, mountains, that God, my daddy, nothing too hard for him. There's nothing he can't do. So here's what I want you to do with me. Would you stand your feet? Prayer team, would you join me down front? I want you to consider right now any impossibility, any difficulty, any storm, or any battle you're facing right now. And we're just going to unlock heaven, okay? So how many of you have some things that you want God to do, some big things you're hoping get done in your family? If you don't have any, just pray for me. I have a very long list, 10,000 churches, etc. starting. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to say that little prayer. God, you've made the heavens and the earth. There's nothing too hard for you. I thank you for a miracle in my family, my health, my marriage, my business, my whatever it is. Just unleash it. God, you made the heavens and the earth by your power. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you. Just tell them, God, there's nothing. I'm believing for every member of my family to be saved and healed. I'm believing for my children to be delivered. I'm believing for my body to be totally restored. There's nothing too hard for you. I'm believing for my business to be blessed, whatever it is. Nothing too hard for you, God. Nothing too hard for you. Next time the enemy tries to provoke you with fearfulness or uncertainty, just say that loud. Hey, there's nothing too hard for my God. Nothing too hard for my God. He's up to the task. He loves you, cares about you. He can't wait to show you what he can do. Your faith unties his hands and unlocks his power and releases his promise to be realized in your life. Hey, before we close, if you raised your hand at the beginning of the service to receive Christ or come back to Christ, we'd love to pray for you some more at the altar. If you're here today and you're hurting in any part of your life, we want to pray for you and just declare nothing too hard for God today. If you're going through, if you want further prayer for a physical issue, we want to pray for you. If you are, as a Christian, have not yet received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit with a prayer language, a heavenly prayer language, if you don't know what that is, we'd love to pray for you. So anyone needing prayer, would you come down forward for just a moment longer? Would you lift your hands with me and sing the worship song we'll sing, and then we'll close in just a moment.
Strong, but Jesus is stronger. is stronger. Our shame was great, but